Assalamualaikum! Ito ang Salam Radio, naghahatid sa inyo ng mga balita't talakayan tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa.
فالشوق طال والقلب سما نحو السماء مترنما لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان 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 ليتك دوما قريب فيك الحب زاد عما العباد يا خير زاد رمضان يا شهر القرآن فيك أذوق حلاوة الإيمان لا لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان رمضان رمضان
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Magandang hapon ho sa ating lahat. Nandito ho tayo sa ating programa, ang Salam Radio DZUP 1602. At tulad ho ng dati, siguro medyo familiar kayo doon sa ating kanta. Yan ho ay tungkol sa Ramadan. Dahil nasa buwan pa ho tayo ng Ramadan ngayon. At yung pag-uusapan natin ay medyo, well, kaugnay din sa Ramadan, pero medyo lilihiso muna tayo dahil mayroon ho tayong panauhin ngayon dito sa ating studio at minarapat natin siya'y imbitahin dahil siya'y bumisita lang naman dito sa ating bansa. At isang pagkakataon nito na ating siya'y makadaupang palad. Siya ho isang eksperto sa larangan ng Islamic thought and philosophy. At siya ho si Dr. Muhammad Fanai. Graduate ho siya ng McGill University at siya'y konektado ho sa Imam Khomeini Research Institute sa Iran. So dahil ho hindi siya pwede magsalita ng Tagalog, kami ho'y magsasalita muna sa Ingles. At alam naman namin na masusubaybayan din nyo naman ito at maintindihan. So pabatiin muna natin ang ating panauhin si Dr. Muhammad Fanai. Dr. Muhammad Fanai, assalamu alaikum and good afternoon to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for inviting me.
And thank you also for joining us this afternoon. It's an opportunity for us to be able to engage with you, especially so that we know that you are an specialist on Islamic thought and philosophy in many other areas of Islamic thought. So we thought of we'll gain much if we will engage with you. Especially that the Muslim world really is the Islam in the Muslim world is the hot issue of the day. So we need to be clarified of many things, especially related to Islam and the issues in the Muslim world. But I think we have to begin with something I would say important, and this is the field of Islamic thought, its role in society, and how it shapes society, and including many parts of the Muslim world. But before we go to this, Dr. Fana, I think it would be nice if we could get some background of your education. Did you finish in Iran with your studies, or how did you go about your education, both in Iran and in the United States?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I studied in seminary of Qom, which is the center for studying Islamic theology and other sciences like jurisprudence, philosophy, mysticism, and Tafsirul Quran, Hadith, and other related topic in Islamic studies. After I completed my studying in Qom, I went to Canada, McGill University. I got my master's degree there on comparative philosophy. And also I got my PhD in the same university, in the Department of Religious Studies.
I see.
On comparative philosophy.
I see. So it was not in the United States. It was
in
Canada.
Canada, yes.
Okay. And I sense that you have a very good command of English language. Does it mean that in Iran, even in Qom University, the language taught in the seminary is also English, or has also some English language?
No, no. In Qom, we study in Persian and Arabic. Of course, we study English, but it's not very strong. I learned more in Canada when I was in McGill University.
I see. So it
but
was
still, I have a long way to go in English language. I'm not so influent.
It's quite amazing that you were able to finish your graduate degree, but you were able also to have a good command of the English language. Sa mga kaibigan natin nakikinig, actually ho, nakausap ko na si Dr. Fanae nung isang linggo. Kami ho'y mayroon ng parang kaintindihan na kami at ang dami naming napag-usapan nung bumisita siya rito sa atin sa universidad. At naisip natin siya ay imbitahin dito sa ating programa dahil maganda ho yung kanyang pananaw pagdating sa katuruan ng Islam at maraming mga issue na aming napag-usapan. But siguro ang pwede naming mapag-usapan ngayon ay yung kahalagahan ng ulumul Islamiya or Islamic thought in the field of Islamic study. And maybe he could give us just a brief background of what Islamic thought really is all about, what is its major features, and what is its significance in shaping the culture and politics in the Muslim world. Hahayaan ho natin siyang magtalakay ng mga mahalagang issue tungkol sa tingin niya, anong nakikita niyang mahalagang aspeto ng sinasabi kong kaninang mga kaalaman tungkol sa Islam, o yung sabi ko kanina na Islamic thought. At dahil ang area ho niya ay comparative philosophy, baka pwede ho natin siyang mahingan din ng mga konting pagtalakay tungkol sa ano ba yung nakita niyang mga comparison ng Islamic philosophy at saka ng conventional o Western philosophy. At saan nagkatugma? What are the convergence of Islamic philosophy and conventional or Western philosophy? Or what are their differences? And what is the state of this relationship, especially in our time. So, sa pagbalik ko namin, ito yung ibibigay nating tanong, ito yung papasagutin natin kay Dr. Fanae, at magbabalik ho ang Salam Radyo pagkatapos ng ilang paalala.
Halika na mahilig sa PCUP,
mo.
Math! I like problem solving.
Gusto ko ng experiments. Science!
English! I love music!
PE!
Hindi ko po alam.
Bigyan natin ang lahat ng kabataan ng favorite subject. Ang edukasyon ay karapatan ng lahat at ito'y hindi pinagkakait kanino man. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Love sports? Makinig na sa Love Ko Ang Sports, hatid ng UP College of Human Kinetics tuwing Martes, alas 5 ng hapon, dito sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Assalamualaikum! Ito ang Salam Radio, nagahatid sa inyo ng mga balita't talakayan tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa.
Nagbabalik ko ang Salam Radyo. Nandito pa rin tayo sa ating programa sa DZUP at kasama natin si Dr. Muhammad Fanae, ang sinasabi ko kanina na isang specialist o isang expert sa larangan ng Islamic thought in philosophy. So Dr. Fanae, I was asking earlier, the major feature of Islamic thought, including philosophy, its significance and its role in shaping Muslim society. Could you give us some highlights of this as far as this question is concerned?
Yeah, as you know, Islam is a complete school of thought and life. Mm-hmm. So it has a world view. It gives us a world view and gives us answer to the fundamental questions that any human being has. And on the basis of that worldview, it shows a way of life, both in individual realm and in social realm. In terms of worldview, Islam is a monotheistic religion. And the central teaching of Islam is the idea of Tawheed, unity of God. So here we differ from materialistic view, which sees the world as only in a material and corporeal realm. Islamic view of the world is wider and larger. The world contains both material and immaterial realm. Mm-hmm. And the real being in the world is God. And the rest of the world is manifestation of God. This is Tawheed. Tawheed means not only there is one God, but also there is one reality, and the rest are manifestation of this reality.
Dr. Fanae, if I may interfere, this view is also relatively present in other faith traditions or other religion. What are the similarities or distinctions between Islam and other faith traditions?
Yes, for example, you know, the concept of Tawheed and unity of God is very important in Islam. For example, in Christianity, they talk about Tawheed, but at the same time, they have Trinity. They have Trinitarian view and vision of God. Mm-hmm. And Islam does not accept this kind of view of God. Then, for example, in Surah At-Tawheed, say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَادٌ. God is one. And lam yalid wa lam yulad. You know, he is not, does not have any child or is not begotten. So Islam is emphasizing on unity of God and simplicity of God. God is simple, unit, and not composed of different, you know, persons or different parts. It's philosophically simple and one. It's both Ahad and Wahid. It's one individual, and this one individual is simple. And Tawheed has various aspects. God is existentially one. At the same time that God is one, he has all perfect qualities. You know, God is omnipotent, omniscient, you know. And according to Islamic teaching, God has many names. Lahul Asma'ul Husna. God is Alim, Qadir, Hay, you know, Mutakallim. And all perfections, God is the source of all perfections at the same time that he is one simple reality. The same reality has all these perfections. This is what we called unity of attributes. While God has many attributes, but at the same time is one simple reality. And also another aspect of Tawheed is Tawheed in creation. There is only one creator in the world, and one real agent in the world. You know, God is active in the world and is the only actor in the world. The rest are his, you know, manifestations. And also Islam emphasizes on unity of ibadah, worshipping. We have to only worship only one God. And any kind of shirk and polytheism is rejected in Islam. Idol worshipping or worshipping a human being or saints or prophets, all these are rejected. The subject of worshipping is only God. He is only, he only deserves to be worshipped. So Tawheed has different aspects and different areas. It has philosophical dimension and it has, you know, practical dimension. We only have to obey one God. And we have to love only one God. And we have to, you know, follow the command of the same God. So Tawheed is the center for a believer's thought and life and emotion. We have to fear only God. You know, the subject of fear is only God. And a true believer fear no other than God, because the rest are powerless when we compare it to God. God is all-powerful and all-present.
You mentioned about the worldview. Is this worldview reflective of the different schools of thought in Islam or in the Muslim world? Or are there variations in the way this worldview is being conceived or interpreted between and among schools and in traditions?
This is the basic teaching of Quran, you know, and it's common among all Muslims. You know, Quran is clear about the concept of Tawheed, and it doesn't give much space for different interpretation. And this is almost, there is a consensus. Of course, the thought is developed in some school more than other schools. Some schools of thought, you know, limited themselves to understanding and interpreting the verses of Quran. Some other areas, some other schools, you know, allow more philosophical and analytical thinking in this regard. For example, we have schools that they do not like much philosophical thinking. For example, Salafi way of thinking does not give much space on philosophical thinking. And we have schools that, you know, go deeply into philosophical thinking. But as I mentioned, in basic teaching about God and Tawheed, There are consensus because these are clear from Quranic teaching.
In other words, what you're saying is while there's only one teachings of Tawheed or source or doctrine of Tawheed, but there are rather shades of different school that try to highlight or sort of de-emphasize certain teachings of Tawheed. I raised that, Doctor, precisely because the schools that you mentioned are somehow, while they rather agreed on many aspects, but also in other aspects, they also had some differences. You mentioned about the Salafi, and you mentioned about the philosophers, and so on and so forth. But this is just to emphasize probably the diversity, the unity and the diversity of Islamic thought that shape the Muslim world. Is it destroyed?
There is diversity in Islamic thought, but about other minor questions. But about the concept of Tawheed, I think because Quran is clear in this regard and does not give much space for different views, because the idea is crystal clear in Quran, the idea of Tawheed, I think almost all Muslims have consensus on the concept of Tawheed and its different dimensions.
Right. And how does it shape society, Doctor, in terms of the different phases of Islamic history?
Yes, you know, the Tawheed is the basic teaching, but there are other fundamental teachings in Islam. One of the key point is the concept of revelation, wahy. Of course, all Abrahamic religions like Judaism and Christianity and Islam are based on revelation. But there are differences in these religions. For example, in Islam, we believe that Quran is revealed by God. The words of Quran is revealed by God. While, for example, in Bible and Torah, we cannot say that words are from God. The idea are inspired from God, Christian believes. But it's written by different people. And human also thought, or at least human, you know, understanding plays a role in shaping, you know, Bible and Old Testament and New Testament. But in terms of Quran, we believe that the whole Quran, not only the meaning and content, but even the words are revealed from God, and Prophet does not add any word by himself or does not omit any. So this is the complete revelation of God, and this is the source of Islamic belief system. Of course, at the same time, we believe in hadith, sayings of prophets, which is prophet were inspired by God, but the words is not from God. The word of hadith is from prophet himself. And in Shia thought, we believe that 12 imam also, their hadith and their sayings also has the same authority as the saying of prophet.
They are not considered simply as qawlul ulama.
No. They are, in fact, they have direct knowledge of the reality. Their knowledge is also ilmul ladunni, it comes from God. And of course, through the guidance of Prophet, but they are inspired by God. And we believe that 12 Imam and 14 Ma'asum, in fact, 14 infallible Prophet, 12 Imam, and the daughter of Prophet Fatima al-Zahra. These 14s are infallible.
You mean the level of importance of this so-called hadith of the imams are also of equal level with that of the hadith of Prophet Muhammad?
In Shia thought, yes. Because whatever they say from Prophet, and they inherited this spiritual knowledge from Prophet. And we have saying from Prophet that said, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا. من أراد أن يدخل المدينة فليأتها من بابها. I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate. Anyone who wants to enter to the city should come through the gate. So, and we believe that Prophet's knowledge is, you know, transferred through Imam Ali and his daughter Fatima to their other imams who came.
It's very interesting, doctor, because as you said, you emphasize the Shia thought. But as far as the Sunni thought is concerned, this is not highlighted as you narrated. But before we go into that, I would like to emphasize also the role of prophets before Prophet Muhammad. How much are the significance or the relevance of their teachings taken as part of the teachings in Islamic tradition? Do they give equal weight to the teachings of previous prophets and the respective revelations, or they belong to a different category of thought or ideas, and therefore they have rather different grade compared to that of the Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet? But before you respond, Dr. Fanai, we would like to break for a while. Magbabalik ko ang Salam Radyo pagkatapos ng ilang paalala.
Halika na mahilig sa PCUP, CPO. Tayo na mahilig sa PCUP, CPO. Ikaw ang po tayo sa PCUP, CPO. Kasali ka.
Pagyamanin ang kaalaman tungkol sa iyong kalusugan at maging handa laban sa anumang karamdaman, dahil ang kalusugan mo ay mahalaga. Your health matters. Tuwing Martes, alas 4 hanggang alas 5 ng hapon, Health Matters. Dito lang sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
Tol, tignan mo tong bago sapatos ko. Imported!
Walang panama yan sa shoes ko. Binili ko pa to online.
Eh wala pala yung mga sapatos nyo eh. Tingnan nyo tong akin, gawang Marikina. Siguradong matibay, gawang Pinoy pa.
Hindi na kailangang lumayo pa. Tangkilikin ang sariling atin. Bilhin ng mga lokal na produkto. Ang paalalang ito ay hatid sa inyo ng DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Assalamualaikum. Ito ang Salam Radio, nagahatid sa inyo ng mga balita't talakayan tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa.
Magbabalik ko ang Salam Radio. Nandito pa rin ho tayo sa ating programa dito sa DZUP 1602. Nako, mukhang paganda ho ng paganda ang pag-uusap. Kasama natin si Dr. Fanai. At banggit niya yung mga katuruan ng Islam at yung mga iba't ibang paniniwala tungkol sa nabanggit niyang katuruan ng propeta at marami pang iba, at yung nabigyan niya ng emphasis kanina, yung pagkakaiba ng Sunni schools of thought doon sa Shia Islamic thought. But bago ko hong puntahan yung parting yun, gusto ko lang ibalik yung tanong doon sa what's the role of the teachings of previous prophets before Prophet Muhammad and their respective revelations in the realm of Islamic thought. In other words, are they part or of Islamic thought, or they are different from what we refer to as Islamic thought? Yes. Doctor?
From Islamic perspective, of course, on my understanding and analysis, we have three major, you know, cosmic event in the whole history of the world. In another word, God made three jobs. The first one is creation. God created this world, including human being. The second important event is revelation. God revealed his teaching through prophet to guide people. And the third event that we are waiting is resurrection. So creation, revelation, and resurrection are three basic and important event in the whole world. We think revelation is as important as creation itself, because God, in creating a human being, has a goal. Mm-hmm. In Quran, we have a lot of verses that says that God did not create this world as a, you know, play, as for a game or mm-hmm. for entertainment. It has mm-hmm. a wise goal. Mm-hmm. And this goal can be completed through revelation. And this revelation, you know, comes by from prophets. And we believe that the first human being, Adam, was himself a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So the chain of prophet start from Adam and continued until the last prophet, who is Muhammad, mm-hmm. peace mm-hmm. be upon him. And we believe that all these prophets come from God and from the same source. Their teaching are the same. There is no disagreement among them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are differences that come from conditions mm-hmm. of time and place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the basic teaching, like mm-hmm. Tawheed, like belief in the Day of Judgment, or worshipping God, obeying God, are the same in all religions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the differences between Quran and other present books, a divine book, is that Quran confirm all previous revelations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the title of our prophet is Musaddiq.
Mm-hmm.
He confirms the previous prophets. So a Muslim believes in Moses, in Jesus, in Abraham, in Noah, and mm-hmm. all prophets. And they all came from God.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe they in their books, in Torah, in Injil, several times, repeatedly mm-hmm. in Quran, are mentioned. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ
قَبْلِكَ.
Believers, true believers, true Muslims, are those who believe in you, Prophet, mm-hmm. and believe on what is revealed to the previous prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So a Muslim believes in all previous religions, and Islam in fact contains and includes
mm-hmm.
all previous religions mm-hmm. and respect them.
I mean their followers, they also respect them.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, of course we believe that, for example, Judaism has, you know, its content, its context.
Mm-hmm.
It is for a period of time and for children of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Christianity is also is a genuine religion of God,
mm-hmm.
but it has its own limit in history.
Mm-hmm.
When the last and final revelation of God has come, all humankind is must believe in the final revelation.
You mean the Holy Quran?
Yes. Because we have to believe all chain of revelation
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and should not stop on one level in between.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A Muslim believe in all revelations because the last revelation is Quran
mm-hmm,
and we
mm-hmm.
believe in previous revelation as respect. And this is the pluralistic view of Islam. You know, still we believe that, you know, we consider Judaism and Christianity, Jewish and Christian, as people of book,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Ahlul
mm-hmm.
Kitab,
mm-hmm.
and they have respect. They have, you know, high position mm-hmm. from Islamic viewpoint. We see them as brothers and sisters mm-hmm. in faith, at mm-hmm. least in part of important part of faith we mm-hmm. share.
Right.
We all believe
right.
in the same God. Mm. We believe in the Day
right.
of Judgment,
right.
and Revelation, and all
right.
of
that. And you mentioned the three areas, Doctor. The creation, prophethood or prophecy, then you mentioned resurrection.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, prophecy has ended.
Yeah.
In the time of Prophet Muhammad. And yet history continued to proceed
yeah.
even after him, including our time.
Yeah.
Now, how do you characterize our period of history immediately after the prophet until our time and probably even until certain future without prophets?
Yeah.
How do you look at that period
yes.
of history?
You know, we believe that Quran contain whatever human being needs in all times and in all places, because Quran is the word of God. It's mm. not written by a human being. to say that a human being is conditioned with the culture and knowledge of his own time is limited. But God's knowledge is infinite and unlimited. So God, with his eternal knowledge, send us this Quran, and it contains whatever human beings need. What is our duty is to make ijtihad, to make new understanding in order to adapt Islamic teaching with the requirements of time and places.
Right.
And in Shia thought, even though the prophethood is ended, but the idea of imama is continuous. Imam is the one who has the inner knowledge of religion and is infallible and is connected to the source of knowledge of prophet. That's why an imam is always, there must be imam. And the earth cannot be without imam or wali of God or someone who is, according to mystics, is called al-insanul kamil, perfect man or universal man. So the teaching is finished, revelation is over, but its interpretation and its implementation will continue until the end of history. And we don't need a new revelation. Whatever we need is there.
Right, right. And now you mentioned this area of the concept of imam in its almost persistent role in society is present in Shia thought. But in Sunni thought, as you know, it's not really emphasized. So could we say that the Sunni world does not have this kind of continuing inspiration? In other words, there is a qualitative difference in terms of wahi, as you mentioned, between the Sunni world and the Shia world?
Yes, of course, there is difference. In Shia thought, the successor of Prophet is Imam. And Imam has three dimension. Imam is the source of religious knowledge. Imam is the master of spirituality. And Imam is at the same time ruler and leader of society. All these three positions are in one person. Like Prophet, Prophet himself was the source of religious knowledge, the authority in religious knowledge, the source of spiritual teaching, and leader of society. In the time of Prophet, there was not distinctions. But when we come into Sunni thought, these three positions are separated.
Right.
So when we have Khalifa, who may not be the scholar or the source of religious knowledge. We have Khalifa, who is political leader. We have Imam like Abu Hanifa, like Shafi'i. He is the source of religious knowledge, but he doesn't have power. He's not the leader of society. And we have, for example, a Sufi master who is the spiritual teacher. These three are divided between three parts. And usually the one who has power, you know, has domination on the other two sides. Then we, for example, we see that after, you know, Khulafa or Rashidin, Khilafah, you know, deviated.
Right.
Person like Yazid, for example, came as Khalifa of Prophet. And then we have Abbasid Khilafah and Uthman. This differentiation, I think, is one of the differences that we have between Shia and Sunni. And still in the time of, in our time, which Imam is not present, we believe that the Waliul Faqih must have all these three qualities. Waliul Faqih is the scholar of knowledge, Islamic sciences. He must be spiritually higher than others. And he must have the administrative ability and leader of society. All are centered in one person.
In other words, he combines the different positions of the of the areas of our personalities you mentioned earlier. Nako, maganda ho itong punto ni Dr. Fanai. Babalikan ho namin ito pagkatapos ng ilang paalala.
Halika na makinig sa TCUP 6302. Tayo na makinig sa TCUP 6302. Ikaw ang bota tayo sa TCUP 6302. Kasali ka.
Assalamualaikum. Ito ang Salam Radio, naghahatid sa inyo ng mga balita at talakayan tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa.
Nagbabalik pa rin ho ang Salam Radio. Nandito pa rin ho tayo dito sa DZUP kasama ang ating guest si Dr. Muhammad Fanai, at binigyan ho na tayo ng paglalahad, lalong-lalo na yung pagkakaiba ng Sunni Islamic thought at yung Shia Islamic thought, lalong-lalo na sa larangan ng nasabi ng gitna kanina ng creation, prophecy at saka resurrection. At nandito kami sa punto na pinag-uusapan namin yung sa larangan ng prophecy, kung saan ay pagkatapos sabi niya ng Propeta Muhammad ay mayroon namang tuloy-tuloy ang may continuity, no, yung role ng mga imam pagkatapos tong lalong-lalo na sa Shia Islamic thought. But before I'll proceed to that aspect, Dr. Fanai, I just want to highlight say questions regarding the basis of the why the concept of imam has surfaced in as conceived in Shia thought, but did not very much surface in Sunni thought. What is the basis of this? Is this taken from the Quran or apart from the Hadith that you mentioned earlier? Say from Prophet Muhammad then to Imam Ali and the remaining in the other imams.
Yes, you know, according to Shia thought, Prophet has some characteristics. Mm. The first characteristic is that he receives revelation, wahy. Mm-hmm. The second one is he has full knowledge of revelation. Prophet is infallible in his knowledge of religion.
Mm.
And the third one is he is infallible in practice. Mm-hmm. We believe that Prophet does not commit sin. The fourth one to say is Prophet is a role model, an example for rest of believers. وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْبَةٌ
حَسَنَةٌ.
The next quality is that Prophet is both a spiritual leader and a social leader. You know, we don't have two office in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Political, social office and religious office.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have separation of religion and state, church and the state. We have one office which include both. Prophet is the interpreter of revelation. Prophet is not chosen by people. Prophet is chosen by God. He is Mustafa. Prophet does not become prophet through democracy. People's vote. Even people at the beginning reject Prophet and fight with Prophet. He is chosen by God and he is taught by God. He is the messenger of God. We believe the successor of Prophet must be like Prophet because he wants to do the same job, except one job. The successor of Prophet does not receive revelation. Wahy. Because wahy is completed. اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. We don't need a new book. Quran is perfect. So we don't need a person who received revelation. But how about the rest of Prophet's job? We need a role a perfect role model, an example. We need someone who has full and infallible knowledge of Quran. We need someone who is both a spiritual and social leader. An imam is a person who has these qualities.
Not to mention, doctor, the some kind of a genealogical. It has to see, he has to have some genealogy to Imam Ali or the so-called Ahlul Bayt. So this means a person who does not have the genealogy, in other words, if he does not belong to the Ahlul Bayt, then he could not be an imam.
He could not be an infallible imam. Because we have only 12 imam. These 12 imam are from, you know, Ahlul Bayt. We have. And why we say Imam Ali? Because, you know, Ali was raised by Prophet from his childhood. You know, Ali was a child. He came into the house of Prophet and lived with Prophet. So, and he educated by Prophet. So Ali doesn't have any background in shirk, in idol worshipping. Since his childhood, he was under the education of Prophet. And also Prophet's daughter, Fatima, she was also the daughter of Prophet and educated by Prophet. And Prophet is the best educator in the world. And then these two get married. And inherited the knowledge and the spirituality of Prophet and transferred into their children. So the first
in the series of imams came from
Ali and Fatima, who both educated by Prophet, and both they do not have background in idol worshipping and shirk. Since their childhood, they were raised by Prophet and educated by Prophet. And we have a lot of hadith from Prophet about Imam Ali, like that one I mentioned, and Madinatul Ilm Aliyum Baba. So this is the way that Shia see the continuity of Prophet Sunnah. Of course, both Shia and Sunni, the main source is Quran and Sunnah of Prophet. So we are common. We have commonalities.
Our
commonalities are basic and fundamental. The differences is not, you know, so much fundamental. In continuity of Prophet's Sunnah, Sunnis rely more on Sahaba, and Shia rely more on Ahlul Bayt. So they both are, you know, receiving their teaching from the Sunnah, but Sunni mainly from Sahaba and Shia mainly from Ahlul Bayt, Ali and Fatima, who were in the house of Prophet and
the series
part of his family.
Yes, the series of imams came from, obviously, as we said, from the Ahlul Bayt line. And this is being preserved in Shia in Shia society, but not in the Sunni in the Sunni community. Which means, as we said earlier, then therefore the Sunni or those individuals who are non-Shia, in other words, do not have the Ahlul Bayt tradition or didn't have the genealogical connection to the Ahlul Bayt, could not be an imam.
You know, as I mentioned, Shia believe in only 12 imam. And no one else can become imam.
And just the same, this 12 imam has ended with the with the last imam. What century was that, doctor?
And we believe that the last imam is alive, but hidden.
And he's so-called the Mahdi.
Mahdi. And he is ghaib, and he will come back in the akhir al-zaman.
When was the period of
In the second of century of Islam. In the time of the absence of imam, we have Walayatul Faqih. Waliul Faqih is not imam. For example, Ayatollah Khomeini is not imam in the sense that we are talking in Shia thought. Imam Khomeini is not infallible. He's an ordinary human being. But he is the closest person to imam in terms of knowledge, in terms of piety, and in terms of ability to lead society.
And that's in terms of his genealogy, doctor?
Genealogy is not here important. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For the Waliyul Faqih, genealogy is not important. Mm-hmm. Anyone can become. Anyone who has this quality.
I see.
The criteria is knowledge, spirituality, and the ability to lead society.
Nako, napakaganda ho itong pinag-uusapan namin, mga kaibigan, dahil pumasok na ho kami ngayon sa usaping ng role ng Waliyatul Faqih. Ito ho yung parang pinakamataas na parang kaalaman o kaya pamumuno dyan ho sa bansang Iran. Dahil kapos tayo sa oras, dito na ho nagdatapos ang aming programa ngayon. Pero pilitin ho nating imbitahin si Dr. Muhammad Fanai para ituloy namin itong pag-uusap namin sa susunod na linggo. So dito na ho nagtatapos ang aming programa. Sa susunod na Martes na ho ang balik namin dito lang sa Salam Radio, DZUP 1602.
Salam Radio, ang nag-iisang programang tungkol sa Islam, kulturang Muslim at iba pa. Hanggang sa susunod na Martes, ika-isa ng hapon. Ito ang DZUP, kasali ka!